If parenthood came with a GPS, it would most likely just say recalculating. Join Yolandi Becker and her guest experts Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Bump and Beyond, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Yes, it is time for Bump and Beyond with me, your host, Yolandi Becker. And as always, we're talking parenting. And I think today's topic, though, is not so much parenting, but more about making sure that you have patience for the parenting. I don't know. It's a lot more about us moms. We're talking about perimenopause today, which is something that, to be honest, is something I feel like I'm entering very, very aggressively at this point. And I would love to talk about it. And it's actually one topic, once I posted this, that I got quite a lot of interaction on as well. So clearly, I'm not the only woman that's wondering about this phase of our life and wondering about what the impact is on our bodies, on our emotions, and, kind of, what is happening with our bodies? I think the woman's body and the female body is such a remarkable vessel in the end of the day. And even I was laughing because my son, who is now 14 years old, again, I think this is adding to my feeling a little bit older at the moment. And he was like asking, he loves asking these type of questions of like, if you could, whatever. And he was like, if you could swap bodies with one person, who would you swap bodies with? And and to be honest, it didn't even come up in my mind to swap bodies with a man because he said he would want to be a woman. He's 14, so for obvious reasons, that's a different conversation for a different time. I honestly in my head never even had the thought that I could swap bodies with a man. Because I would not want to, because I think it's such a beautiful, remarkable body to a woman. The only thing that maybe now thinking about it that I would want to be a man is because they can run so much faster. The testosterone in a man's body and how they can build muscle is for me so impressive and cool. That's the only reason, maybe. And maybe standing up and peeing. That's also a pretty cool feature. But the fact that we can actually, create life within our bodies and carry it for 9 months is truly and honestly one of the most remarkable and wonderful and beautiful things out there. And I would not want to trade that. I would then sit peeing for gladly without even worrying about it. But anyway, I'm losing track because today one of my favorite guests is joining me. He's been on the show before, Dr. Matu. So I'm very, very happy that he's here again to help us navigate through this topic of perimenopause. Of course, as always, I would love, love, love for you to be part of this conversation. So if you have any questions, concerns, or anything about perimenopause, if you've actually experienced it yourself or have some symptoms and you're wondering if it's happening, please, 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 please do let me know. You can send us a WhatsApp on 061-895-1019. So, Dr. Matu, thank you so much for joining me. How are you today?
Morning, Yolandi. Thanks for having me. I agree with your son. I get why he'd be a woman. I totally get it.
It was like I said, he loves asking questions like that. Sometimes it's very weird and I'm always the one who ruins stuff because I think way too logically about things when it comes to those questions. And it ruins because he asked me for what would my superpower be, and then he says stuff like he wants to be super strong, and then it's like, how is that going to help you in life to be super strong? That's going to help nothing. It's like, why are you ruining it for me? why? Anyway, so let's start with a big question of, first of all, obviously, I think most people know menopause, what menopause, or that at one point in a woman's life, we go through menopause, and it's not something we're supposed to look forward to or want to experience, I don't know. But what exactly is perimenopause, and why is it different to menopause, and how is it different to menopause?
It's, you know, a lot of people think that humans are machines, and it's not quite that simple. They think we go from, you know, one like area in our life to the next one, and there's like a discernible line where you cross over to the next part of your life, but it's not quite that simple. So it's more we sort of gradually grow into certain areas. So that's what perimenopause is. Perimenopause just means that area in time where basically there's a few changes happening, but you haven't quite crossed over to the other side of menopause.
Okay.
That's a simplified way of looking at it.
Simplified version of everything. You know, I don't like it to be too complicated. And that's one of the reasons why I love having you on, because I do feel you have a good way of explaining things to us stupid people out there, so that we don't have to have all this medical jargon the whole time and we're like, huh? What are you talking about?
We will go technical today. I think we'll get a little bit technical.
We'll have to. And that's also good for us to learn some of these technical things to help prepare us for it. But what's like the typical age of women experiencing perimenopause? I know now it's not like it's a journey.
So let's get technical, actually.
Yes.
So little bit of background. When you're still forming as a little girl in your mom, in your mother's womb,
yes,
at about 20 weeks, that's when you have the most eggs you will ever have in your entire existence.
Oh, okay,
so you have a lot of eggs at 20 weeks.
Yes.
By the time, so we're talking millions, we're talking like 7-8 million. By the time you're born, that has gone down to about 1-2 million. Okay, so you're already on the downward trend of losing your eggs. You start menstruating, you're now at 300 to about 500,000 eggs. By the time you get to 40, your egg count, your egg reserve is low. Remember, the hormones that women, govern women, basically, your menstrual cycle hormones, let's simplify it like that, are basically made in your ovaries and are made mostly by your eggs or the product of your eggs.
Yeah.
Okay, so it means no eggs, no hormone. That's what it means.
Okay.
So we say, and this is from population studies, we say if you have menopause before the age of 40, and we say you have premature ovarian insufficiency, we call it a condition. It's not normal, you have a disease. Between 40 and 45, we say, okay, you have early menopause. It means, okay, you don't quite fit most people, but it's acceptable.
Yeah.
After the age of 45, we expect you to have menopause.
Ah. Okay.
So it means, so you can do the math that the perimenopause, most women from about 40, 41, 42, start experiencing certain symptoms of decline in their hormones. Because that's what perimenopause it means. The hormones are still there, but they're going down and they're on a decline.
Okay. But when you're now also saying low eggs, is the how many, like, because for me, 500,000 eggs still sound like a crap load when you're young.
That's at puberty, by the way. So half a million is at puberty. By the time you hit 40, everybody is different. So it's not like there's an exact number. Because your body responds differently. So imagine your ovaries are like a bank.
Can you like physically look inside my body and be like, oh, wow, there's all your eggs. I can see how many you have left.
We can do a test. There's a hormonal test called antimalarian hormone. That hormone is produced by the eggs that lie dormant in your ovaries. And then we can basically see. But on top of that, when I do an ultrasound, I can see how many eggs you're recruiting every month, which gives me an idea.
Okay, we'll go into that in a little bit more detail just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
Good morning, good morning. Yes, if you just joined me, you are on Bump and Beyond, and this is Bump, me, Yolandi Becker, and we're talking perimenopause today. See, that confusion, I feel, is a very good, like, where I'm at the moment in my life and a phase of my life is that my brain is so full of different things, which is a wonderful thing. I've kind of leaned into it, I have to say, because I've got a very colorful, busy life and I really enjoy it. But it's such a testament of where I'm at currently in my journey. We're talking again, like I said, perimenopause. And if you've got questions about it, please do be part of this conversation. Just now, while we were in ad break, I was actually giving a little bit to Dr. Matu, my guest today. I was giving a little bit of a confession to him to say that even just this little bit of a tidbit of this conversation already made me feel a little bit more at ease about it. Because for me personally, really like if you hear about perimenopause and menopause, because again, and I said this to him as well, is that it's not something that we commonly talk about as women, unfortunately. And when you hear about it, it's always like really like scary, and it's almost like when before you get pregnant or something, it's like this really like scary thing and whatever, and you're not looking forward to it even remotely. And just him now explaining kind of why it's happening already kind of made me feel a little bit more at ease about the whole journey and how normal it is. It's not something abnormal. It's also not something you can really do about it. Maybe a little bit. We're going to get to that just now. But what are some of the, so we've talked about now, menopause and perimenopause is like a little bit of the build up to menopause. It's not just you go into menopause. It's a transition phase that you're going through. But what are some of the earliest signs and symptoms we can look out for as women?
Good question. The way I remember it is a mnemonic. It's the seven dwarfs of menopause.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say all of them because you'll guess this, the one I'm not going to say. It's itchy, and then there's a B1.
No,
that's the one I'm not going to say. Sleepy, sweaty, bloated, and forgetful.
Yes.
Yes. So itchy with a B, but
forgetful. I was just saying that.
But the reason for it is because you know some of the hormones that women have, especially estrogen. Don't forget estrogen. Every cell in our body has receptors for estrogen. Every single cell in our bodies has a receptor for estrogen from your skin to your every single cell. So it means it has a role to play in every single cell. The reason your skin is wrinkled, the reason your sex life isn't so great, decreased libido, the reason you're forgetful, brain, the reason, you know, you can't, you know, I don't know, see properly, but it has a role in every cell in our body. So it's that important.
Is that why we as women have such beautiful skin, more skin than men, because we've got so much better estrogen?
You have so much more estrogen.
And but you've already now mentioned also some of the things that can happen. Also, what you're saying, impacting sleep and energy levels and mental health and those type of things. For me also, again, my sleep. And I wonder because I obviously work with sleep. So I feel like my sleep is generally quite good. But there is like, I can almost track to you when I'm like PMSing, like at that point, there's like a week or 4 days where I really don't sleep well. And then it's again a lot better. But there's this period of my cycle where I'm a lot more sleepless than what I normally am. which I now understand is kind of part of it. Is that going to be my permanent life eventually?
It doesn't have to be different options, but I think something else that a lot of women don't actually speak about is it affects your sex life. That's a big one, actually, because it decreases your libido. So you get decreased libido. It can be quite strenuous on your relationship because you're not having as much sex and et cetera. But yes, there's treatment for it. I mean, the world, in the past, most our life expectancy was, 85. It was about 30-something years. And now the life expectancy has gone up. So women live a lot longer. So you can imagine that women live longer and so would need estrogen longer.
Yes.
So the thing to do is to just replace your estrogen longer. And there are safe ways to do that.
Okay. But that brings me to one of the questions we have now is hormone therapy a good kind of treatment for perimenopause?
It is a great one. So remember that the hormone therapy is different depending on your age. So around the perimenopause, we're talking older women and including menopause. We're talking older women. So your estrogen...
I don't like the word older. I would prefer the word mature.
Let's call it mature. Let's call it like fine wine. So mature. But so for the more mature women, your estrogen needs aren't actually as great as when you're much younger. So you need a bit less estrogen. So what we do, and obviously it has a special name, we call it menopausal hormone therapy. But basically you just need a little bit of a top up of your estrogen. And if you have a uterus, we add a little bit of progesterone. But if you don't have a uterus, we just give you just the estrogen alone because that's enough.
Yeah. But what does that then entail, hormone therapy? Do you have to go to your doctor? Do you to your GP? To which gynecologist? Which type of doctor you're going to? Who are you asking? Where are you getting it from? Are you getting it? Now I'm asking lots of questions at once. I'm just afraid I forget them.
So you're 100% correct. Most gynecologists can actually give MHT, menopause hormone therapy. And some GPs, if you're good enough, should actually be giving MHT. I think the plan would be, we're endocrinologists. I'm a reproductive medicine subspecialist, but I don't think you need me to give MHT.
Yeah.
The point is to make it as accessible as possible. Ideally, you should be able to go to a local clinic and the local sister should be able to say, okay, checklist. So you don't have these things, so there's no risk factors. I'm going to give you MHT. That's what should be happening in a perfect world, because it should be that accessible.
But that now asks me, so in the perfect world, so if I, like you've now mentioned some of the symptoms, and I'm like 41 years old, and I feel like, okay, I'm checking all those boxes, would it be safe for me to just be, if in a perfect world now I just go and I get this, is it going to do anything to me if it's too early to take these things, or is it actually better to start taking it earlier than waiting for it to be full blown happening to me?
100%. So as long as you don't have certain comorbidities, so there are just certain things to exclude. Like if you have uncontrolled hypertension, you know, like those serious medical conditions that have to be treated before you start hormone.
Yeah.
As long as you exclude those things, it's actually quite safe. You'll live a better life.
Yeah.
And you'll live a better, longer life. Because it also protects your heart. It protects, there's a lot of benefits to it. It's
so
not just...
Is it so then, like at a certain age, it's actually just advisable for women to start taking estrogen?
That's what I would do. If I was a woman, I would say, okay, listen, it's time to start taking estrogen. That's what I would do.
But I'm not just wondering about it, because I do go for regular checkups I don't go to a gynecologist anymore. I go to a sexual health clinic type of thing. So it's not a gynecologist, but it's not necessarily because I don't feel someone needs to look at everything in such detail that is necessary. And gynecologists are really expensive. And I'm not planning any more children. Anyway, but I do go, but I don't feel anyone. And I'm very sure I've said certain things to doctors before, and no one has ever told me, hey, have you considered going on like hormone therapy?
That's why you and I are having this conversation.
And honestly, none of my friends, I've spoken to friends of mine about perimenopause and about menopause, and no one has ever told me, hey, I'm on hormone therapy.
Yeah, it's so bad. Let me tell you something that is like such a terrible thing. There was a big study. I'll name the study. It was called the WHI study, and it was done like early 2000s, and it was a big study, and it scared everybody because it said, "Ooh, there was a small chance that if you take certain mixed hormones, so combined hormones." Yeah. It increases your chance of breast cancer. Now that study has, I mean, we've even gone back and relooked at it, and that the chances of breast cancer are so low that they're not even worth mentioning. But people still have that mentality that, oh my goodness, you know, taking hormones is so dangerous, especially if I'm older, I'm going to get cancer. It's so not true. First of all, the older you are, the higher your chance of getting cancer with or without hormones.
No,
the menopausal hormone therapy is the benefits so far outweigh the risks that it should be something we talk about, especially since, I mean, in first world countries where the population is mostly postmenopausal, you know, there are countries like that. This is something they talk about every day. They've normalized it.
Yes.
But with us, I think we're still a bit hesitant to talk about it.
And I mean, that's like, I mean, how you mentioned it earlier. I mean, in the past, obviously, also where our life expectancy was a lot less. I mean, you can't, then it's like, okay, great. For 10 years of my life, it's going to be not so great. But if you're not talking about, I'm 40, I'm like, I've got still a long way to go. You need to start looking at the quality of that life as well. And like you said, like things like reduced libido and those type of things can have a huge impact on your quality of life. And I mean, this, like I said, I've even asked people because my forgetfulness is like, I'm showing Dr. Matu my 50,000 little lists that I have to just remember literally what he's been talking about. Because my forgetfulness is, and I've asked people about that, is like, what should I be taking to help with remembering things? What should, and again, how is it that no one has ever told me take hormones? I'm flabbergasted by this.
Take hormones and creatine.
Again, now, because again, we're not talking perimenopause, but now, is there like also like menopause itself? Is there a test you can take to test if you are like menopausal?
There are tests that we do. It's measuring your hormones. The main hormone that we measure is actually a hormone that's from your brain, because that's the hormone that is in charge of your ovaries. So if that hormone is increased, it basically means your ovaries aren't listening. So if that hormone is increased, it means your ovaries are shutting down or have shut down. So that together with your estrogen gives you an idea of whether you're perimenopausal or postmenopausal. It's actually the concrete diagnostic tool of menopause. And remember, menopause is actually a diagnosis in retrospect. So we only say you're menopausal if you haven't seen your period for a year. So looking back, if you're over a certain age and you say, okay, now it's been a year, I haven't seen my period. Then we say you're menopausal. So the perimenopause is that, you know, you're not quite as regular as you used to be. You're missing 2-3 months, but you're still seeing your period. Then at that point, you're probably perimenopausal.
Okay. Obviously, if you're perimenopausal, you still have eggs that we've established, just lower, and that has a certain effect on your hormones and things like that, and which is what we've been talking about. But it means that you still have eggs. So you still do have the ability to get pregnant.
Okay. I must be politically correct when I'm answering this. So if you are perimenopausal and you fall pregnant, it's a miracle, because remember that even though you have eggs, the older you are, more mature, the more mature you are, the poorer the quality of the eggs. So it's not just the number that's affected, also the quality is lower. So it takes, when you look at the percentages, so let's say you're 48, it'll take one out of every 20 eggs to even be able to get you pregnant. So if you fall pregnant at that age, with that hormonal profile, it would be a miracle.
Okay, great. I can't believe we're almost running out of time, but more on this just now.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
If you're only just joining me, where have you been? We've been having a really great conversation with one of my favorite guests that's been on here. Maybe I should have introduced like Dr. Tato Mato a little bit more in the sense of I'm like so used to him being here. He's actually very brilliant. He is an endoscopic surgeon and a fertility specialist. So he's not just anyone. He is pretty impressive. And he, just from talking with him, you will notice that he knows what he's talking about. And even though he is a man, he actually knows a lot about women and how it works. So it's always great to have him. And as I mentioned, it's also always great to learn more. Again, you've made me even feel a little bit more positive about this whole thing. And I'm really looking forward to improving my quality of life when it comes to perimenopause and menopause. Because, I mean, there is clearly things that you could do about it. But again, now, again, there's a lot of things when I talk about with friends asking who are older than me, when we talk about perimenopause and menopause, that's a little bit scary about it. Are there health risks that we should be, that's linked with perimenopause and menopause, that we should be, things like, you know, like your bone density and metabolic, I mean, lots of women gain weight when they go into these things, heart health and those type of things, or should we, how should we be preparing for those things?
You touched on everything. So there's an interesting, just to illustrate this point, how important it is. There was a few studies that were done a while back, and the what they did was there's sometimes instances where we as doctors have to take out the ovaries. So take out someone's ovaries for whatever reason, cancer, etc. And they looked at their life expectancy and everything. And it was found, and this also is proven, by the way, in the same study, that same WHI study, is that if you increase the amount of years where you don't get estrogen, in other words, if you have early menopause or you have that premature ovarian insufficiency, etc., your life expectancy decreases by 10 years.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot. The reason for that is what you touched on. Big thing, cardiac health, so heart health. Okay, that's a big thing. You need estrogen to maintain your vessels and your arteries and also your heart. Bone health, it's another one. It's a big one, actually. Osteoporosis, and obviously that is associated with fractures, also decrease your life expectancy. But like I said, every single cell has estrogen receptors. So you can into it with estrogen. You need estrogen. That's the truth. You need estrogen. In fact, I think it's a marker. It's just that if you look at some of the first world countries, I was watching something recently and the population is ridiculous. I mean, they had 90-year-olds running around and much younger. And the reason is because medicine has come, has reached that point. It is that we can replace your estrogen now. So you can be 70 and be on estrogen and feel like you're 50, maybe even 30, but anyway, 50, and be running around and running marathons and feeling healthy and having a good life. Is that important?
Yes, but now again, I mean, hormones are one part of it. You can't just be taking hormones and then expect all those things to be great. Is there also like things, lifestyle factors that women can do, like things like your diet, stress, exercise, those? I mean, I'm actually, I was saying these things and thinking to myself, we know it's good for you to exercise and eat properly. This is not rocket science. At any stage of your life, it is important.
I think you answered my question. You know it's bad for you to smoke. You know it's good for you to exercise. You know it's good for you to eat healthy. So all of those things are actually quite important. The older you are, actually, the more important it is for you to exercise. I mean, when you're younger, your body recovers quicker.
Yeah.
When you're 70, you wake up like now, okay, I'm not that, I'm in my 40s, so, but I wake up and there's like a pain, and like an Achilles pain. And I'm like, I have done, I was sleeping last night. And I realized that the more I exercise, the less those things happen. So I needed more now than I did before when I was younger.
Yeah. No, I say that all the time. But I mean, for me, I think a big thing, hormone therapy, even like now, I feel a lot better about it. But even that, like you said, there is, I don't even know. I mean, I've not even heard about that WHI study before. And when you say like hormone therapy, I do feel there's a stigma to it where it's scary and people think like, oh, you're replacing your hormones. Now you're playing around with it. Because from a sleep perspective, if someone is just telling me they're taking, like melatonin, I'm like, that's not a good idea. And so in my head now, I'm like thinking estrogen. I feel a lot better about it, I do have to say. But how do you take it? Is it a pill you're taking, or are you taking, is it like?
It's one pill a day. Like your multivitamin, just like a multivitamin, like one pill a day. The only thing is, usually we recommend that you take it at a similar time, whatever time that is.
Yeah.
So you take it at a similar time each day. But it's a pill a day.
Yeah. Okay.
And the nice thing about it, and this is in the medical side of things. So in the past, we used to say, the first part is still true. You should start menopause hormone therapy 10 years, within 10 years of undergoing menopause. Obviously, you can start it earlier, which is recommended.
Yeah.
But in the past, we used to say, okay, then you can take it for 10 years. And then now we've realized actually 10 years is not enough. So you can take it until.
Because that brings me now to our final question, because we're unfortunately running out of time, but someone actually just asked, if you are in your 60s now and went through menopause without estrogen, should I take estrogen now for my health, or is it too late?
Yeah, so the thing is, the benefit, most of the benefit is seen if you start it within 10 years after going through menopause. So, for example, if you're 61 and you underwent menopause at 55, there's benefit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you underwent menopause at 45 and you're 61, it's probably not a good idea to start hormones now.
Okay. But it is also, in the end of the day, it's a discussion to go and have with your doctor.
Exactly.
In the end of the day, they will be able to assess if this is a good idea. But again, we now know it is actually a conversation we should be having. Dr. Matu, it was so great to have you again. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm for sure we've already made plans to talk with you again in November, and we look forward to it. Thank you so much for joining me. Have a good day.
Cheers.
Thanks. Bye.
This is Bump and Beyond with Yolandi Becker, the show about pregnancy and babies. 101.9 megahertz of life.
And just like that, another show has come to an end, and it was a really good one. I have to say that I think maybe that's why I do this show, is just so that I can speak to experts for free and get lots of helpful information for me and for you, because that made me feel a lot better about perimenopause and menopause for that matter, because and the sooner, and I mean, even if you're not there yet, sorry to say, eventually you'll get there. So you need to start thinking. And as we saw now, what Dr. Amato had told us is that in the end, it is really the earlier you start with these things and start, you know, thinking in that direction, the better and the more benefits you will reap from it. So honestly, that was for me such a great. And I mean, and again, also to know that we're thinking a little bit of the quality of our lives when we're older, and that we're not just, because as women, we are so great at just accepting our lot. Hey, oh, you know, we have to carry babies and we have to do that. We're so great at that. And in the end of the day, we don't have to accept our lot. There is so much out there for us to help with our quality of life. Because, I mean, these vessels, like I said, it's a miracle. And what we can do is super impressive. And we need to take care of it. And there's help out there to make sure that we can take care of it, which is wonderful. If you've missed this show that with Dr. Tato Matu, don't worry. This show and all of my shows are available as a podcast on highfm.com. So please go have a listen to it. I hope you've also downloaded the app already and that you're listening to us on the app. That's also always great. But yes, all of my shows and all of the shows on HiFM is available as podcast for you to go listen to. And we've got such a great variety of different topics on parenting. That is, yeah, I think good for you as a new parent, a current parent, a parent to be, even if you are like, this conversation today is like a segue of parenting, I guess. But us as moms do have to take care of ourselves. You know, that old saying was like, you have to put your own oxygen mask on before you put someone else's oxygen mask on, which is very important. It's been wonderful. And to be honest, this conversation made me feel a little bit younger, because this month I felt slightly older than what I really wanted to, because my son turned in September turned 14, which is crazy. It's really, he's taller than me, and it's just, it's crazy, but also so wonderful. It's been a fantastically beautiful September month for me, and I cannot believe that we are in the final stretch. Only 3 months left of the year. Can you believe it? And then 2025 is also, COVID is becoming like more and more decent. I'm purposefully saying that because I'm thinking, okay, it's almost 2026 in a couple of months, yet I'm still processing certain things from that time. Anyway, in the end of the day, I hope your week will be filled with connection, with balance, and with kindness. Until next time, go out there and be kind.